Thank you for having me this morning. The Central Alberta Pregnancy Care Center is really my heart's work. I love what goes on in the building, and I love the clients that the Lord sends us. And so it's a thrill. I'm nervous, so please forgive me if I shake and stutter, but I'll share a little bit about who I am. Excuse me. Again, it's my heart's work, the Central Alberta Pregnancy Care Center. 9 years ago, excuse me, I had already been working, looking at curriculum, at how to work with unwed mothers or how to establish something in our community. And my husband and I had come home. Our kids had been raised, and they were out of our home. We came home from a holiday. And I had been taking some schooling, and my girlfriend called me and said, "Rita, you'll never believe what's coming to Olds. You need to go to the steering committee to the community information night." And it was that night, that Sunday night. And so we went, and the whole time my husband was, "I can't believe they're saying exactly what you talk about all the time." So they agreed, the people that were there that night, that they were going to establish a steering committee to see if there's need and assess all of that and meet all the criteria that we had to be in order to be a satellite center from the Red Deer office in Olds. And we were able to tick all those boxes. And within 9 months, and I always think the Lord's humorous because that's gestation, 9 months, we got to open our doors in Olds. So that was in 2014. And then I was there almost 3 years, and then our daughter went into crisis. And she wasn't able to parent her three children. Her oldest is now 10, and he has autism, and he's nonverbal, and he's within our home. So we've had them 6 years, and the youngest, so Aaliyah's 8, and then Cohen's 6. And Cohen started in grade 1 this year. And I got a phone call from Holly, who's actually... the Gilrey's lovely daughter. She said, "Rita, would you really pray about if God wants you to come back?" Well, I did, and I thought I heard this voice that I didn't recognize as it said, go in the strength you have. And I have absolutely no strength. I've been awake all week with my grandson who doesn't sleep often. And I just dismissed it. And the next day when I opened my Bible, I read in Gideon, and exactly those words were told to him. "Go in the strength you have." What I didn't pause to listen was he would make up the rest. And so every day as I go, I've been back since September 12th. I remember that the Lord said, all I require of you is to go in what you have and I'll make up the rest. So it's been an honor to be back at the Central Alberta Pregnancy Care Center. And my heart this morning is to share with you what's been taken from our society, from the clients that we see. When we removed that God was our creator, we also removed our value. And so when people come into the center and we share with them that they have value, they actually disagree with us. They actually don't know their own value. And so I just would like to share with you this morning, and I've distributed some Bibles out, and so I'm going to ask you to participate. And this is what we do in our volunteer training. We actually share with you the scripture, and the whole basis of the Central Alberta Pregnancy Care Center is founded on scripture. So God's plan for human life, image Deo, the sanctity of human life. Humans' lives are sacred. They're set apart. They're special. They have sanctity because only people are created in the image of God. I'll tell a funny story. My granddaughter, she was imagining about mermaids and she was unicorns and all those things. And, you know, they're fun and let's have fun. And I said, "Actually, did you know that the Bible created fish and he created humans and he never mixed them?" They were like, "Oh, you're taking all the fun out of it." And then we said, "Unicorns, actually, well, there's a whale that has a horn." So we were able to identify that. But when we really understand the value of human life and that God didn't mix fish and humans, and it's a fun story and it's all of that, but the truth, when we get an opportunity to tell somebody the biblical truth of what the Bible says, is that God created humans and we're created in God's image. After creating the universe and everything in it, God created humankind in his image. Therefore, all human life has intrinsic value, not because of developmental milestones or personal achievements, but because we are created in God's image. There's three verses that we want to look up. So I don't know if we want to start in the back. Are you comfortable with reading? I guess if you're not, you can wave to the next person and we'll just kind of work our way. And if you need a Bible, we'll just pass one to you. We're going to look up Genesis 1:27. And if when you look it up, if you could just stand up and read it. I'd like us to hear what the Bible says about how people have value. So Genesis 1:27, the next person can look up Genesis 5:1 and 2. And then if somebody could grab Genesis 9:6. Thank you. Genesis, that's Genesis 1:27. Genesis 5:1 and 2. Does someone have that? And Genesis 9:6. So we hear that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall the blood be shed, and in the image of God has God made mankind. We are different from the rest of creation. We're sacred and we're set apart. So then we look at the quality and the sanctity of life. So we hear a lot, and I'll share, as we have individuals come into the center and they have an ultrasound that would state that there's a defect in their ultrasound, they're automatically referred to terminate their pregnancy. So if I look at that and I look at my 10-year-old grandson, who, yes, he has a lot of work and he gives me a lot of challenge and he takes a lot of managing, I can't imagine his life being eliminated because of a birth defect. I'll share a story with you that happened about 9 years ago. A young mom, and she came from no faith-based. She came and she was in a marriage. She had other children. Her ultrasound said that she had a genetic, there was a genetic fault in the ultrasound, and that it was recommended for her to terminate her pregnancy because it would be too much of a financial drain on her family, on and on. She came into the pregnancy care center. All of her doctoring had to be done in Calgary then, so that was the extra expense. But she just couldn't reconcile the thought that she was going to terminate her pregnancy. So she made the life-honoring decision to carry her pregnancy to term. I'll never forget the shrill on her voice when she called me from the Peter Lougheed. Rita, he's a perfect little boy. His arms aren't deformed. He's a perfect little boy. He's 9 now. And if we weren't there in the town of Olds, that conversation might not have happened. So I'm very thankful as we discuss the quality and of life versus the sanctity of life. The quality of life ethic is a human, the view of human life has relative value based on personal attributes such as the absence or physical or mental defects. Sorry, I need a Kleenex. Oh, there we go. I kept saying, I'm not going to cry. Society determines which factors are important, but it is usually focused on wantedness or usefulness. Abortion isn't new. Plato and Aristotle both supported it. And as we, when you do your volunteer training at the Pregnancy Care Center, we show that. And that's actually very surprising because we often think this is just our culture that has dealt with this, but there's nothing new under the sun. And people haven't been valued because they haven't realized that God created them in his image for very long. So Plato and Aristotle They both supported it. The Greeks procured abortion. The Persians terminated pregnancy. Ancient Hindu and Arabs subjected women to two unbelievable operations. Chinese mothers were bound very tightly. Polynesians were beaten. In Egypt, newborns were used for cosmetics. In Rome, children were left to die from exposure. These are horrific things for us to know today. I want to share that the gospel, Jesus Christ, makes the difference in people's hearts. He made a difference in my heart, and he can make the difference in your heart and in the hearts of the people that seek the services of the Central Alberta Pregnancy Care Center. We are in Mountain View County in the town of Olds to share hope and the love of Christ, knowing that no one is unable to receive forgiveness and love. The sanctity of life ethic, this is the view that human life has absolute value based on the fact that God created man in his own image. God is the author of all life and gives his view of human life throughout the scripture. It is very clear, and it is very clear he views children as a precious gift. When we look at absolute life, I'm going to get you to participate again here. We need to read these scriptures, so if you'd grab one again. Genesis 25, 21. And 1 Samuel 1, 20. Thank you. And Psalm 127, 3. Thank you. And Psalm 139, 13 to 16. Psalm 22. Isaiah 49. Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5. And Luke 1:15, and Luke 1:41 to 44, and Galatians 1:15. When I read these verses and I think, oh, how the Lord has known us. My grandson, we were driving to Red Deer, they were taking skiing, and he said, Mimi, they call me Mimi, Mimi, did you know that God knew me before I was born? And I said, yes, Cohen, he did. He did. And do we know that? Do you know that? Do you know that your neighbor, who's maybe very annoying, that God knew them before they were born and that God loves them and has a plan for their life? I just often, when we're done reading these scriptures, I just want to stand in awe and worship the God who created my life and created all of yours. So God has a plan for our relationships. And when the clients come into our office, they don't know this either. They don't know that there's a way that God had initially designed marriage and one man and one woman. And when we walk through the supports and the programs that the Central Alberta Pregnancy Care Center, we see healing happen. And it's such an honor to be able to share with those that come in our center. We've seen a huge influx of people coming, and sometimes they're coming from a different demographic than they were 9 years ago. 9 years ago, we often didn't see anybody in a relationship at all. They were just pregnant. Now we're seeing married couples come. We're seeing, so the demographic has changed, and people are saying, we need help with our relationships. So let's just read these verses about how God planned our relationships. Genesis, there's a lot there. Let's skip to Genesis 2:18, just in case the first one is a little bit intimidating for anybody. So let's start at Genesis 2:18 and Genesis 1:31. So all the rest of creation got the good stamp, but when he made humans, he said it was very good. Genesis 2:18. So God intended us to have a helper. And then the last one, Genesis 1:28 to 31a. So God created us to be sexual beings, men and women. He created it to bond two people together in a marriage, to be mutually enjoyed, for procreation. So as we see, we live in a fallen world, and there's shame and fear and blame, relational strife and self-interest, drudgery and pain, separation from God and murder. Genesis 2:17 tells us, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And then again in Genesis 3, mankind chose to break the only rule that God gave them. The consequences of mankind's disobedience has been devastating, affecting our relationships with God and with each other. And so when we understand the fear and the shame that our clients are carrying, that the blame, so we unpack all these things at the Central Alberta Pregnancy Care Centre, and we try to bridge the difference there with grace. So oftentimes you'll hear, are you pro-life or are you pro-choice? And so I like to say we're pro-grace. So we have women that come in. I'll tell you a story. This one young mom, she came in. She had already had a child. She was married, and now she's pregnant. And she was feeling really insecure in her pregnancy, and she wanted us to walk alongside of her. So our mandate is before pregnancy, during pregnancy, and after pregnancy. So we had prenatal, and we had a wonderful supply of resources and education that we walked with her through her pregnancy into her birthing experience. She kept coming. She wanted relationship. It took 14 visits for her to tell us her story, that she had been harmed as a child at 5 years old. 14 visits. Now, usually you think on our intake is wonderful. So there's an opportunity to, we ask questions. We have an opportunity to have some wisdom as to where to go in the appointments. But it took 14 visits for her to share her story with me. What she kept saying in that story was, it's okay, it's okay. And I said, actually, it's not okay. She started to cry. I've never seen her cry before. She had never shared what had happened to her because now she felt safe. That week, we never talked about church. We never talked about the fallen world. We had been a safe place where we showed her love, gentleness, respect, and we built relationships. That weekend, she took her two-year-old and her baby in a basket, and she walked to a neighborhood church because she thought, I don't know what she thought. Next appointment, she came in. The door wasn't even closed, and she said, can I ask you a question? Of course. She says, what's the difference between Catholic, the Nazarene, which is the church that she walked to, and whatever you are? I just took a deep breath, and I sat down. And I shared with her the story of Hagar, because that's my story, of how God saw me after I'd been abandoned and I'd been harmed. And he saw me and he called me by name. I shared that with her. And I said that I personally just asked the Lord to be a part of my life. It was simple. It wasn't maybe even theologically correct. I probably didn't follow all 7 steps. I just shared with her how I had been seen by God. Guess what? We went on to infant nutrition because her baby's 3 months old. The end of that, she said, you just like asked him, like talked to him to become part of your life. I said, yes, I did. She goes, well, can I? I had the privilege of leading her to the Lord. This beautiful young mom who's never gone to church before, after 14, now 15 visits, now has been seen by God. And it's such a privilege to be able to bridge that. So we give the promise of hope, separated by sin and still sacred. So yes, we are sinful, but God still created us in his image. So is there anybody that you think that is unlovable by the Lord? I have to tell you, there isn't. Some might be hard, and some we might have to ask the Lord to help us. But we can give a promise of hope, and we want to pray that he reveals his care for mankind. Even after our disobedience and our not knowing that God has a plan for our life, that's what we want to do at the Pregnancy Care Center, is we want to bridge that and make sure that everyone knows that they're valued. God made a way. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved through God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? At the Central Alberta Pregnancy Care Center, we share this way. We share the hope that we have in Christ, that all of us need a Savior, and that Christ is willing and available for us all to be reconciled to himself. No sin is unforgivable, not even abortion. At the Central Alberta Pregnancy Care Center, lots of times people don't know that we have all the services we have. I just want to share with you about our male mentor. We have male mentors, and men don't really like to come into the center. They prefer a virtual phone call. So right now we have a male mentor that sets aside Wednesday night and Thursday night, and he's full. He phones the clients, the male clients, and he talks with them. So he has hard conversations. They have curriculum that they're sent back and forth, and they talk about pornography, they talk about anger, they talk about relationships, they talk about parenting. So lots of times, because our name would maybe inhibit men from accessing services, I just want everyone to know that men haven't been forgotten in the scenario. I hadn't been back at the Pregnancy Care Center, so it was probably a week later before the end of September, and I had a young man who I recognized. He had been raised in the church, and he came in, and he was just broken. He had just learned that the girlfriend that he had terminated the pregnancy that he would have been the father of, and he wasn't given a voice in that situation. After we were done talking, I downloaded an application for a teen challenge. So he's actually in Saskatoon right now. We made a phone call. And he said, you know, if I ever father a child again, I want to make sure that I would be able to parent. And we recognized that he was the father, because we know that every human being at the moment of conception has DNA, which would be a life. And so we grieved that life together, and we validated that that was a life. And he also was able to say and take ownership that he had wandered away from the Lord. So I had the privilege of praying with him. And I'm excited. We send curriculum to him, and he should be coming out in October. So men aren't forgotten, and they're very valuable and at the Pregnancy Care Center as well. Our 24/7 dads, we have a male mentor that's taken our curriculum, and he wants to invest in the young men that are parenting, and so that they can, once a month, they plan an activity, whether it's tobogganing or bowling, and just showing role modeling parenting. Baby and maternity clothing, and your congregation has been very helpful with that. So we're able, as generous as you are giving to us, we're able to give out. So we have maternity clothing. We have newborns up to 2 years of age. One of our big programs that we offer is Steps to Sexual Health, which deals with the trauma and sexual abuse that our clients disclose to us, and walking through the healing of that. So at our banquet, we have stories of individuals that have walked through that program that are able to celebrate that even though something horrific has happened in their life, they can see and turn around and help someone else through that healing process as well. I often think of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, and it says how God's comforted us so that we in turn can comfort with the same comfort that we've received. So when we have things in our story that are maybe hurtful or harmful, and we've received healing, that God uses those to help other people. And then post-abortion healing. We are seeing, I want to share some exciting things. I kind of am a strategic person, so I make plans for myself. Well, January was my month to connect with all the doctor's offices in the county of Mountain View and over to Three Hills and down just to see, because we kept having a lot of clients come in that weren't attached to doctors. And so January we did that. In January we had four clients come in that had abortions booked. And I'm happy to tell you today that we have four clients that are carrying to term. So the fruit of that work, which was a lot of work connecting with those doctor's office, was those individuals didn't feel alone anymore. They felt supported. They felt that they were going to have education and help to carry those pregnancies to term. So that's January. Also, we have to look at the other aspect of it. I know if you're familiar with the news and what happened and Canada not having any laws around abortion, a 38-week pregnancy was terminated in Montreal. And so you hear a lot of anger and you hear a lot of grief and you hear all of that. And I think, Lord, who's helping that mom? Because how do you reconcile that? Right? So we can be angry at all of that and angry at all our laws. And so when I look at the stats, and they don't have the 2000 stats out yet, I don't know why. They should have already, and if they were strategic and they could get their numbers. So 2021, there's just under 57,000, actually just under 58,000 live births in Alberta. So pregnancies that were birthed. And we used to, our stats used to be 1 in 4 were terminated. And now it's moved to 1 in 3 were just, there were 17,000 terminations of pregnancies in Alberta. So I think there's 17,000 moms out there that need to be told that in their grieving and in the loss, that there's healing and there's hope. And that Jesus can even forgive that. And so that's what I mean by sharing grace. If we stand and we placard and we say, murderer, murderer, that mom's never going to come and access the healing and forgiveness that Jesus would offer her. So my heart is, as much as we need to lament over the deaths that have happened, we also need to be able to embrace those that come through our doors. So I need you to pray for me, because sometimes it's hard. You know, we've been accused at the Pregnancy Care Center, how can you let them go and terminate a pregnancy? Well, I know that God's economy is we all get to choose him. And so as much as we try our best to encourage and walk alongside the individuals that come our way, sometimes the stories are that of a terminated pregnancy. So how every day do I go and face who I need to face? I need you to pray. And I also need you to understand that maybe your neighbor is hurting with a secret. And you might be the one to tell them that God can forgive them and that their life is valuable to God. At Christmas, we went to a local restaurant in Olds, all the volunteers and their husbands. And we were just right out in the open. And somebody approached one of our volunteers, and I didn't hear her. I didn't hear her explanation. But the question is, what exactly do you do at the Pregnancy Care Center? The volunteer shared. Tuesday, when I went to work, I got a phone call. This was December. May I do an intake? One of your volunteers at supper on Friday told me what you do. I have an abortion book tomorrow, and I'd really like to talk to you before I go to that appointment. She was 23 weeks. We're looking at celebrating the life of her son. So thank you. The only reason we're in the town of Olds is because people donate and keep our doors open. We don't take government funds. They actually would like to close our doors because we give an option other than abortion. So right now, the conversation is that if they remove our charitable status, the people who value the work that we're doing, we won't be able to be there. So I know God has all the resources. And to me, that's not a threat. But in reality, we need funds to continue to be open. So thank you for supporting the Pregnancy Care Center. At our banquet, we have three stories of individuals from Olds. They're local stories. I'd really like you to come. It's more important to me that all the seats are filled because you can hear what God's done. But that is the place we raise our funds. So I know God has all the resources we need. So that isn't even my ask. It's just come, fill a table, bring your friends. It's free to attend, but you have to register. And we can celebrate the stories of how God's intervened in people's lives. That's what I've shared. I don't prepare sermons. But if you come and volunteer at the center, it's the same thing. We'll work through. We'll work through the scripture. If you have something that you would like to talk to me about, that you've been harmed in your life, I would be honored to sit and walk through that journey with you. We receive trauma competency care as far as one of our certificates when we work at the Pregnancy Care Center. So it's such an honor to be able to sit. I see every single appointment as a divine appointment. And all of you are valued, and I just want you to know that today. Thank you for having me. May I pray? Father God, I thank you that you see each one of us, just like you saw Hagar, and you called her by name. So you know all of our names. Father, I thank you that you saw me. And I thank you also that my story is being used to help other people heal. And Lord, I pray that one scripture, one verse, that the fruit of your word that you promise us that will not return void would be seen today. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.